Hi guys, and welcome back to the Hochschulkiste podcast. I'm happy to be here with you today on our Christmas special episode. And today we're going to uncover the secrets hiding in the plain sight. My name is Julia, and today we're diving into a question you have probably never asked. Is Santa Claus still a symbol of pure holiday joy, or has it been hijacked by corporations? Think about it. When you see Santa's face today, what do you associate it with? Warm holiday memories or endless ads of toys, gadgets, and Coca-Cola? I can tell you for sure, Santa's story is a lot messier than you think. In today's episode, we're going to peel back the layers. We will start with where Santa came from, how he became the ultimate brand mascot, and whether we will have lost the true meaning of Christmas in this process. Let's dive in. To understand the conspiracy, we need to rewind about 1,700 years. The original Santa wasn't the guy in a red suit with a bag full of toys. He was Saint Nicholas, a bishop from what's now Turkey. Saint Nicholas was known for his generosity. There is a famous story about how he secretly gave money to three poor sisters so they could marry and avoid being sold into slavery. Over time, these kinds of stories turned him into a symbol of selfless giving. Fast forward to the Middle Ages, and Saint Nicholas became a key figure in Christian folklore across Europe. In the Netherlands, he evolved into Sinterklaas, who traveled on a white horse and left gifts in children's shoes. Sounds familiar? This version of Santa crossed the Atlantic with the Dutch settlers in the 1700s and started to mix with other traditions. But here's where it gets interesting. By the 19th century, the Santa we recognize today didn't exist yet. Instead, Christmas itself was changing. It was moving away from the religious roots and becoming more a family-centered holiday. Writers like Clement Clark Moore, who penned Twas the Night Before Christmas, started shaping Santa into a magical, jolly figure. All illustrators at the time, like Thomas Nast, gave him now iconic features: the beard, the sleigh, the reindeer. But something was still missing. The red suit, the commercial appeal, those came later. And that's where the real conspiracy begins. Now let's jump to the 1930s. By this point, Santa was already a well-known figure, but he didn't have a consistent look we see today. There's where Coca-Cola comes in. During the Great Depression, Coke wanted to boost winter sales, so they launched a campaign featuring Santa Claus. They hired an artist named Haddon Sundblom to create a version of Santa that was shareable, relatable, and most of all, importantly, dressed in red and white. Why red and white? Because those just happened to be Coca-Cola colors. Sundblom's Santa was an instant hit. People loved his warm smile, his rosy cheeks, and his round belly. And soon, that version of Santa wasn't just in Coca-Cola ads, it was everywhere. Here's the thing. Coca-Cola didn't invent Santa's look, but they did popularize it. And once brands realized how much people loved this version of Santa, they started using him too. By the 1950s, Santa wasn't just a Christmas figure, he was a marketing tool. So here's my question for you. Where you think of Santa today? Are you picturing a symbol of generosity or a billboard? Now let's talk numbers. Did you know that the average American spends around $900 on holiday gifts each year? That's not counting decorations, food, and travel. Globally, the Christmas economy is worth hundreds of billions of dollars. For retailers, this season isn't just a big deal, it's the Super Bowl of sales. It didn't always used to be like this. Christmas was once a motor celebration, focused on family gathering and small, thoughtful gifts. But somewhere along the line, things changed. Let's break it down how it happened. Advertisement played a massive role in turning Christmas into a spending spree. One of the earliest examples is Macy's. In 1924, Macy's launched its now famous Thanksgiving Day Parade. The idea was to kick off the holiday shopping season with a bang. And it worked. The parade for it floats and the giant balloons became a symbol of holidays. But here's the catch. It also became a symbol of consumerism. By the time the parade ended, the message was clear. It's time to shop. Fast forward to today. The brands have perfected this formula. Think of Black Friday or Cyber Monday, which are practically holidays in their own right. These shopping events turn Christmas into a race to buy more, spend more, and let's be honest, stress more. For example, have you ever noticed how ads for Christmas gifts play on our emotions? They don't sell products, they sell ideas. Let's take jewelry ads, for example. Every December, you see commercials showing someone giving a diamond necklace or engagement ring with slogans like, "Show her how much you love her this Christmas." And the implication is, if you don't spend big, you don't care enough. Another example is tech gadgets. Think of all the ads of smartphones, tablets, or gaming consoles, with kids grinding ear to ear as they unwrap the perfect gift. These ads create enormous pressure for parents. No one wants their child to be disappointed on Christmas morning, so they stretch their budgets, sometimes beyond what's reasonable. Santa himself isn't safe from the commercialization machine. Brands use him to sell everything, from fast food to luxury cars. For example, a few years ago, there was a car commercial where Santa traded his sleek for a shiny new sport car. The message was clear. Even Santa upgrades to the latest model. Why shouldn't you? Even food brands jump in. Think about these cookies and milk commercials. They're not just about Santa. They're about selling more baked goods during the holiday season. And let's not forget Hollywood. Holidays movies have become a huge driver in the Christmas spending. Take Home Alone, for example. After a movie came out, sales on Talkboys, a fictional recorder feature in the film, skyrocketed. Toys company knew exactly how to cash in on this film's popularity. Another example is The Polar Express. Movie brought in millions, not just on the box office, but through merchandise, train sets, pajamas, ornaments, you name it. The magic of Christmas became a brand itself. Now here's a fun one, ugly Christmas sweaters. What started as a quirky, ironic tradition has turned into a multi-million dollar industry. Retailers jumped on the trend, massive production sweaters with light jingles and all over the top designs. And the result? People spend billions every year on clothing they will wear once or twice, all because it's part of the holiday spirit. In this kind of consumerism that speaks up on you, you're not just buying a sweater, you're buying into an experience. So here we are. Christmas, once a modest holiday, has become economic powerhouse. Every gift we buy, every ad we see, every product we associate with the holidays, it's all part of the carefully designed system to make us spend more. The question is, how much of this do we really need? Are we buying because it makes us happy or because we feel we have to? Here's some food for thoughts as we move into next section. What would Christmas look like if we stripped away all the marketing? No Black Friday sales, no endless wish lists, just people, together, celebrating. Would it still feel like Christmas? Or have we forgotten what it's really about? Santa isn't just a North Pole resident. He has a different names and traditions worldwide. Let's explore how Santa or similar figures are celebrated in different countries. Europe is a home to many Santa's origins. But there is lots of variety. In the Netherlands, there is Santa Claus, who arrives by boat from Spain and delivers gifts on December 5th. Kids leave carrots for his horse and hope for candy in return. In Germany and Austria, St. Nicholas delivers treats on December 6th, while the Christkind, a childlike angel, brings gifts on Christmas Eve. In Finland, Santa is Joulupukki, or yellow goat. Unlike our Santa, he knocks on the doors and hands over presents in person. In Ukraine, St. Nicholas, or Svetý Mykolaj, is celebrated on December 19th. He places gifts under kids' pillows if they have been good, but those who misbehave might find a twig instead. In Russia, Ded Moroz, or Grandfather Frost, delivered gifts with the help of his granddaughter, Snegurochka. He is less jolly than Santa and wears blue robe. Ded Moroz is celebrated on New Year's Eve, not Christmas. In Poland, Kwiator is a traditional figure in some regions, bringing gifts on Christmas Eve. His name is Starman, and he is linked to the first star of the night. In the US and Canada, Santa Claus is the jolly figure we know, red suit and reindeers. His image was solidified by Coca-Cola ads in the 1930s and remains the global icon today. In Japan, Christmas is more about fun than religion. Santa is called Santa-san, but there is also Hoteisho, a Buddhist monk who brings gifts. In China, Santa Sheng Dan Lao Ren is mainly a mall figure promoting holiday sales. In Australia and New Zealand, Santa swaps snow for scent. He is often seen in beach and board shorts, embracing the summer heat. Whether it's Ded Moroz in Russia, Santa Claus in Netherlands, or Santa in the USA, Santa reflects each culture, history, and values. Let's dive into Nicely's Santa Ultimate Power Move. The idea is simple. If you're good, you get presents. If you're bad, you get coal. Sounds innocent enough, right? But let's dig deeper. What does it nice really mean, and how is the concept is being used today? Historically, the nice list wasn't about the material rewards. In early European traditions, St. Nicholas rewarded acts of kindness like helping others or behaving well in the community. The gifts were symbolic, simple things like fruit, nuts, or sweets. But over time, as Christmas became more commercialized, the nice list morphed into something else. It started to focus less on good deeds and more on consumerism. Here's where it gets tricky. Modern advertising has turned the nice list into a tool to sell products. Think about all those toy commercials during the holidays. They don't just show kids playing, they send a clear message to parents, your child deserves this because they've been good. But what happens if a parent cannot afford that toy? Does it mean their child wasn't nice enough? It creates the subtle pressure. If you don't give your kids the right gifts, you're failing at the parents, and that's a tough spot to be in. And even, you know how cruel kids can be in their young age. And they tend to bully other kids because they don't have as nice presents as they do. And now let's talk about the call. This might sound like a funny tradition, but it's rooted in fear-based parenting. The idea is, if you don't behave, you will get nothing but call for Christmas. Brands play into this too. Ever seen ads with taglines like, only the best for the best kids? It reinforces the idea that receiving gifts is a reward for being good. But who decides what's good or bad? And is it fair to tie a child's worth to a shopping list? The definition of nice have changed over the years. Historically, it was about being kind, generous, and being a good member of the community. Today is often tied to obedience and following the rules, whether at school, at home, or in society. And then there is an issue of privilege. And think about it. Not all families can afford to give their kids the gifts they ask for. Does that mean those kids weren't good enough? Of course not. But the narrative around Santa and the nice list can unintentionally send that message. Technologies have taken a nice list to a whole new level. There are now apps and websites where parents can send messages from Santa, updating their kids on whether they are on a nice list or a naughty list. Some apps even let parents create fake surveillance videos of Santa checking on their kid. It's playful, sure, but it also raises questions about trust. Do we really want kids to think they're being watched all the time? And let's not forget about Santa's most famous line. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. Wait, what? Santa's basically running a 24/7 surveillance state. He's monitoring billions of kids worldwide to decide who's worthy of presents. Joke aside, this idea can make kids feel like they're constantly being judged. It's a lot of pressure, especially when it's tied to a holiday season. So what if it's about effort, kindness, or trying best, regardless the results? For example, a child who helps a sibling with homework could be considered nice, even if they sometimes misbehave. A parent working hard to provide for their family deserves to feel appreciated, even if they cannot buy the most expensive gifts. The nice list doesn't have to be about material rewards. It can be a way to celebrate the little things we do for each other, without judgment or comparison. In the end, the nice list is a reflection of what we value. If you use it to reinforce consumerism, it's no surprise that kids and even adults focus on material things during the holidays. But if we shift the focus back to generosity, kindness, and effort, the nice list can be sometimes meaningful again. So here's a challenge. This year, instead of asking who's been nice, ask yourself, how can I make someone's holiday brighter? That's the true spirit of the season. So is there a hope for Santa, or he is destined to be a pawn of big brands forever? I think there is a way to reclaim him, but it starts with how we approach Christmas. What if we shifted the focus away from buying and back to giving? Not giving stuff, but giving time, attention, and kindness. Here's a few ideas. Instead of expensive gifts, write someone a heartfelt letter. Volunteer at the local charity or food bank. Start a family tradition that doesn't involve shopping, like baking cookies together or going on a winter walk. Santa does not have to be about products. He can still be a symbol of generosity, but only if you make him one. Santa has been through a lot. from a humble bishop to a global brand mascot. He's been shaped by centuries of cultures, commerce, and imagination. Here's the big question. Can we reclaim him? Can we bring Santa back of being symbol of joy, kindness, and connection instead of tool of corporate marketing? Let's be honest. For many people, Santa today feels more like a delivery driver for Amazon than a magical figure. He's associated with shopping malls, product placements, and an endless stream of ads. But it wasn't always that way. Remember, Santa or Saint Nicholas started as a symbol of generosity. He helps those in need without expecting anything in return. Somewhere along the way, we replaced that spirit with one of the materialism. Think about it. When was the last time you thought of Santa as a figure of kindness rather than a guy who brings stuff? The good news is, it's not too late to change that. First, let's shift the focus away from what we are getting to what we are giving. And no, I don't mean giving expensive gifts, I mean giving time, attention, and care. Instead of buying another sweater for a sibling, spend an afternoon doing something they love. Volunteer at a local charity or food bank is a small way to spread the magic of the season. If you're crafty, you can make gifts. A handmade card or a batch of cookies can mean more than anything you buy in the store. Santa, at his core, is about generosity. He reminds us that the best gifts aren't things. Their experiences and connections. We already talked about the nice list and how it's been twisted into a consumerism tool, but what if we reinvented it? Instead of rewarding kids for being nice with toys, we could encourage them to think about how they helped others. For example, a child could write a letter to Santa listing the good things they have done, like sharing with a friend or helping at home. Families could start a tradition of giving back as a way of making a nice list, like donating toys and volunteering together. This way, the nice list become a way to reflect on kindness rather than material rewards. Another way to reclaim Santa is by focusing on traditions instead of trends. Modern Christmas is full of fags, ugly sweaters, themed decorations, and Instagram-worthy gifts wrapping. But the traditions that stick with us are the ones that feels meaningful. Here are some for examples. In many cultures, storytelling is a big part of Christmas. Why not spend your evening reading a nice book? Start a family tradition, like watching specific holiday movie, baking cookies, or singing carols together. Traditions don't have to cost money. They're about creating memories, not spending cash. Here's another thought. What if you made Santa less mythical figure and more of a symbol of human kindness? Imagine teaching kids that anyone can be Santa. It's not about flying reindeer or magic sleighs, it's about showing up for others. For example, a child could play Santa by giving a small gift to a neighbor or writing thank you note to their teachers. Parents could explain that Santa works through everyone who gives, shares, and helps during the holiday season. This idea isn't new. In fact, the famous editorial Yes, Virginia, There is a Santa Claus from 1897 made the same point. Santa exists as long as we embody his spirit. Finally, we need to acknowledge that Christmas has become too focused on gifts. That doesn't mean we should stop giving them, but we can rethink how we approach them. Consider alternatives, like gifting experience, a concert ticket, a museum pass, or even a homemade coupon book for things like movie nights or chores. Start a tradition where everyone gives you a non-material gift. This could be a compliment, a shared memory, or a handwritten letter. When we reduce the pressure to buy, we create space for the things that really matter: connection, gratitude, and joy. Santa has always been more than just a guy in a red suit. He is a symbol of hope and kindness. But reclaiming that meaning is up to us. This holiday season, let's challenge ourselves to look beyond the shopping malls and online sales. Let's remember what Santa and Christmas are really about. Giving without expecting anything in return, sharing joy, and creating moments that matter. Whatever it is, know this. Santa isn't just a myth. He's in every act of kindness, every moment of generosity, and that's something no brand can sell. Now, let's talk about psychology of Santa Claus. Have you ever wondered why Santa Claus has remained such a powerful figure in our collective imagination? Santa represents something much deeper, tapping into some of our strongest emotions and psychological needs. First is nostalgia. For many of us, Santa is a bridge to childhood. Think about it. When you see an image of Santa or hear a sound of sleigh bells, what comes to mind? Chances are you're reminded of some simple times where staying up late to catch Santa was your biggest worry. Psychologists say nostalgia has a powerful effect on our emotions. It gives us comfort, especially during stressful times. Santa becomes a symbol of those magical moments, reminds us of the joy we felt as kids and the traditions we cherished. Santa also encourages wonder. For kids, the idea of man flying through the sky, delivering gifts to every child on Earth, is a pure magic. And even as adults, we hold onto that sense of awe, if only for the sake of the kids in our life. Santa's magic isn't about the impossible, it's about believing in something bigger than ourselves. It's the same reason we love fantasy stories or superhero movies. Deep down, we want to believe that there is more to the world than what we see every day. Then, there is the idea of giving without expecting anything in return. Santa embodies selflessness. He doesn't ask for recognition or rewards, he gives because he cares. In psychology, this concept ties into what's called prosocial behavior, acts of kindness that benefit others. Santa reminds us that giving can be as just fulfilling as receiving, if not more. And let's not forget how Santa functions as a tool for parents. The promise of presents and the threat of coal can be a surprisingly effective way to encourage good behavior. But this also raises a question, should we use Santa to manipulate kids into being good, or should we focus more on teaching kindness for their own sake? Santa's psychology is complex, but at his core, he represents deepest hopes for magic, for connection, and for a world where kindness still matters. Of course, not everyone loves Santa. Over the years, he has been in the center of some serious debates. Let's explore a few of the biggest controversies surrounding the man in the red suit. Is it okay to tell kids Santa exists? One of the most common debates is whether is it right to tell kids that Santa is real. On the one hand, it's a harmless tradition that sparks joy and imagination. Kids eventually outgrow the belief, but they are left with happy memories. On the other hand, some argue that lying to kids even about Santa can lead to trust issues. When they eventually learn the truth, they might wonder what else their parents have lied about. What's your take? Is the magic worth the potential disappointment? Culture and racial representation. Santa has also faced criticisms for being a predominantly white Western figure. While many countries have their own versions of Santa, the global image we see in movies and commercials is usually the same, a white man in a red suit. This raises questions about cultural representation and whether the dominance of this version of Santa erases other traditions. Should Santa be more inclusive? If so, how? Surveillance and control. Let's not forget the creepy side of Santa. He's famously described as watching us all the time. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Some argue that this turns Santa into a tool of controlling kids' behavior. It teaches them to conform out of the fear of being watched rather than understanding why kindness and good behavior matter. These controversies don't mean we need to cancel Santa, but they do remind us how to think critically about what he represents and how we can make his story better. Let's talk about Santa in a pop culture. Santa isn't just a holiday figure, he's a pop culture icon. From movies, to music, to books, he's been reimagined in countless ways. Let's take a closer look at some of his most memorable appearances. Santa has starred in dozens of films, each showing a different side of him. In The Polar Express, he's as mysterious, magical, representing belief itself. In Elf, he's down to earth, managing the chaos of Christmas with humor. In Dead Santa Claus, we see the more human take, exploring what it would be like to inherit the role of Santa. These movies don't just entertain us, they shape how we think about Santa and the holidays. Let's imagine if we were to reinvent Santa for today's world, what would he look like? Would he still wear a red suit, or would he have more eco-friendly wardrobe? Would his sleigh be replaced with a fleet or electric drones? And what about his message? In a time when we are more aware of issues like sustainability and inclusion, maybe Santa would focus on teaching values rather than delivering gifts. He can promote environmental care by encouraging sustainable gifts, inclusion by representing a broader range of cultures and identities, and community service by inspiring people to help those in need. Reimagining Santa doesn't mean losing the magic, it means making him relevant to the challenges and values of today. So, here's my question for you. If you could redesign Santa, what would you change? Or would you keep him exactly the same? So guys, we have explored a lot today. From Santa's humble origins as Saint Nicholas to his global variations. From his commercialization to his psychological impact. We have imagined what a modern-day Santa might look like. But here's what I hope you take away. Santa is more than a man that delivers your present. He's a reflection of us, our values, our traditions, and our hopes for the world. Whether you see Santa as a symbol of generosity, a figure of imagination, or a tool of consumerism, one thing is clear, he brings people together. The question is, how do we want to shape Santa's story moving forward? Do we let him remain the mascot for big brands, or do we reclaim him as a symbol of kindness and connection? That choice is up to us. So, here's my challenge for you. This holiday season, try to embody the spirit of Santa. Do something generous, not because you have to, but because you want to. That's it for today's episode of The Santa Conspiracy. Thank you for joining me on this journey through the magic, mystery, and meaning of Santa Claus. I'm wishing you a holiday season filled with joy, friends, family, and maybe a little bit of magic. Until next time, stay curious and stay kind.